بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. وعن زبير بن عدي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: والذي نفسي بيده لا يأتي زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه، سمعته من نبيكم صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers, exactly 3 weeks ago was the beginning of our Islamic year. It was the beginning of 1431, and 2 weeks after that, that is last week, was the beginning of the Gregorian calendar, that it was the beginning of 2010, and it's the beginning of a new decade as well. Now, as we all know, that South Africa in particular has long awaited this magical date of 2010. The whole country is excited, and there has been a lot of hype about the arrival of 2010. 2010 is seen as some kind of a magical year that will solve a lot of the problems and so on. However, we must look at all of these things from an Islamic point of view and Islamic perspective. First of all, what do we expect to happen in 2010? Normally, we find the analyst will do an analysis of the events or the possible events that could happen in the year to come. And they will predict this will happen, that will happen, the economy is going to improve or it will go down. Politically, there will be stability or there will be instability, and so on. Various kinds of scenarios are painted, and what they call scenario planning takes place to predict the events that are going to happen. From a Sharia point of view, we find that as time goes, what is the scenario planning from a Sharia point of view? From a Sharia point of view, as time goes further away from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and closer to the advent of Qiyamah, instead of things getting better, there is a tendency for things to get worse and there is a deterioration. 2010 will be worse than 29 or 2009, and 2009 would have been worse than 2008, and 2011 will be worse than 2010, because as we progress further away from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are going closer to Qiyamah and we are going further away from that era and time which was called Khairul Qurun. Khairul Qurun, as we hear in the Jummah khutbah every week after week, Khairul Qurun qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of times was the times of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the time that came after him, the era of the Sahaba. Then the time that came after that, the era of the Tabi'een. Then the time that came after that, the era of the Tabu Tabi'een. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ يَفْسُ الْكَذِبْ. Then falsehood and all kinds of fitna will start prevailing in the world. And as time progresses, things get worse, they don't get better, as we are hurtling closer to Qiyamah and further away from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the overall condition of the world is going to get worse, it is not going to get better. Therefore, we should not build high expectations about the future. We should keep a balance as far as these things are concerned. It is said that once certain, we have a common tendency that we always are complaining about things, what is going on and so on, in an expectation that things are going to get better. We must forget that type of thing, that things are going to get better. We must prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually that things will deteriorate. But as they are deteriorating, we will try to do the best under the circumstances. We find that in the time of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, when conditions became a little bit adverse, certain people came and complained to one eminent personality of the time, Zubair bin Adi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they said to him that, you know, this is happening and that is happening and things are getting bad and so on. He said to them, what deception are you people living in? وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌّ مِّنْهُ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ نَبِيِّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said to them that I take an oath in Allah's name that no time comes, but the time that is coming after that is worse than the time that went before that. And he says, I've heard this from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So as time progresses, things get worse, deterioration sets in, fitnas will abound, fitnas will increase, problems will increase. This is something that we have to live with. We have to expect this type of thing to happen. So 2010 is just another year more further away from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and closer to Qiyamah from the Islamic point of view. In fact, as we go further away from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the barakat, the blessing and the nur and hidayat and all of these things get lesser and lesser. It is said about one baker that he used to do a very strange thing. His stale bread, yesterday's bread, he used to charge more than the fresh bread. So, people used to ask him that you are a very strange businessman, you are a very strange baker. In all the other bakeries in town, the fresh bread is more expensive than the stale bread because they want to get rid of the stale bread, so they'll sell it at half the price or quarter the price or they will give it away. But you are a funny person, you're a strange person. You selling your stale bread more expensive than the fresh bread. What a reply he gave. He said, the reason why I sell the stale bread more expensive than the fresh bread is because that stale bread, yesterday's bread, is one day closer to the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The barakat in that is more than today's bread, which is one day further than the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not saying we must go to the bakery and start asking for stale bread and naan and rolls. But what we are saying is that as we are going further and further away, the barakat and the good in the world is getting lesser and the evil is becoming more. So we find that as time progresses, there's a deterioration in all of these things. So we should not have high and mighty expectations. This is the point that I'm trying to make, that we should not have great and high expectations and aspirations, this will happen and that will happen. We must be realistic about the situation in the world, that things are getting worse. Even the concept of amanat and trustworthiness, as time progresses, it becomes lesser and lesser in the world. Many people complain that, you know, we're doing business and we find that people are not honest anymore. You can't find an honest employee anymore. The employees are complaining you can't find an honest employer anymore. The businessmen are complaining you can't find honest clients anymore. The clients are complaining you can't find honest business people anymore. Because honesty and trustworthiness is becoming less and less. An incident is narrated that there was a person, when he was young, he found a huge amount of money and realizing that this is somebody's amanat, immediately he took it and intact, he presented it to the court or the police station and he told them that I've come to report somebody's lost property and this is that full amount I'm giving to you intact as it was found. And this was regarded as something very great because a huge sum of money, this person returned it and he did not take anything from that. He did not misappropriate that amanah, that trust. It is recorded that a number of years later, the same person was found and guilty. He was caught, he was arrested and taken to court. And this time he had stolen a small amount of money. So the judge, who had known about the history of this person and his background, was surprised. And he asked him, that I'm astonished at you, few years ago, you gave back a huge sum of money, and you did not take anything from it, and now several years later you have taken a small sum of money, you've stolen a small sum of money. What has gone wrong? The ulama of that time, they gave the verdict and they said, the only thing that has gone wrong is that because we have moved further away from the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amanat and trustworthiness has decreased. When he was young, he was closer to the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, there was a greater degree of amanat and trustworthiness in that time. That is why he returned that amanat. But as we have moved away from the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, closer to Qiyamah, amanat has also decreased. Therefore, the very same person who earlier on was a very trustworthy person has now become somebody who is less trustworthy. And so this tendency will carry on. However, at the same time, my respected elders and dear brothers, it does not mean that we must become despondent and we must lose hope. Because that is also part and parcel of the teachings of our deen, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed that if any one of you knows that tomorrow is Qiyamah, he must still plant his seed in the hope that the tree is going to grow. He must not stop planting his seed because he knows tomorrow is Qiyamah and he has got some inside information that tomorrow is going to be Qiyamah or Qiyamah is round the corner, so he does not plant his seed. No, a person must carry on as normal. He must live his life as normal. We must not become so despondent and lose hope that we stop doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. We continue living our lives. But at the same time, we must be cognizant of the fact that don't have great expectations, don't have great and high and mighty hopes. Understand the times we are living in. And under the circumstances, we should try and do the best of our ability. Now, as we know, earlier on I mentioned that 2010 is that year that the whole focus of the world is on our country, on South Africa. We are expecting an influx of hundreds of thousands of people that are going to come to the World Cup, and there will be huge volumes of people entering our country and moving from city to city and town to town. They will be coming, obviously, for the purposes of the World Cup. And what are they really going to be achieving? Let us try and understand. What are these poor souls going to come to our country for? We should take pity on them. We should feel sorry for them. People who are making so much of sacrifice in terms of wealth and energy and time. They're spending so much of their wealth, their energy, their time. They are coming here for what? Simply to watch 22 people, 11 on one side, 11 on the other side, for 90 minutes kicking a piece of leather with some air filled inside from one pole to the other pole. And what's the goal? Kicking from one pole to try to score the goal. That will be the whole purpose. For that entire duration of time that people will be coming, they will be just coming to see this and get a thrill and excitement out of people kicking a piece of ball, a piece of leather from this side to that side. What do they achieve? There's no achievement other than the little excitement, the thrill. This is an indication of the reality of how empty the life of man and humanity has become. That is why I say we should take pity on these people. What an empty life. What an empty life. What a sad life. There's nothing exciting in their life. There's nothing fulfilling in their life to look forward to other than to see people kicking a piece of leather around, kicking a ball from one side to the other side, from pole to pole to score the goal. That is all. And for that few minutes, just for the thrill of it, the excitement, and that is it. But nevertheless, that is the reality, that is what is going to happen. Now, what is our role? What is going to be our role? This is very important. As far as the Muslim community of South Africa is concerned, we have to look at this as a wonderful opportunity to interact with those guests that will be coming to our country, and we are going to be their host.
There will be among them many thousands of Muslims. And of course, there will be many thousands of non-Muslims as well. And we as the host, the local people of this country, especially as the Muslim community, we have a very important role to play as the host of this event, the people that are coming to our country. And to use this opportunity, the president of the country, Mr. Zuma, is saying, this is the best opportunity from 1994 to showcase South Africa to the world. We say this is the best opportunity to showcase Islam and Muslims to the world. This is our opportunity. And we should seize on this opportunity. Each and every one that is in the Muslim community must have a desire and aspiration in the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make me instrumental and a means of guidance and hidayat for some person that comes to our country. Those who are without iman, Allah make us instrumental to bring them to iman. And those who are with iman, Allah make us instrumental to bring them closer to Islam. This is our opportunity to make ikram. The guests will be coming to our country to try to interact with their people. Arrange for their coming to the masjid for salat, especially the Jummah salat. And to arrange for halal food and so on. And to take them, meet the ulama of the community. Take them to our Islamic institutions. Bichara, they are coming empty-handed. Let them at least go back with something. Give them something to take back. Give Islamic literature, CDs and so on. They are coming with nothing. They are coming empty-handed. They are coming for an empty event. Let them go back with something. At least they will have some good memories. And that could become a means of change, instrumental in bringing about some guidance and hidayat in the lives of people. So my dear friends, we will have the people coming here at our door. This is an opportunity we will never get again, maybe for many years to come, where so many people are coming right to our door. They are going to be in our communities, they are going to be in our towns, in our cities. We have to take that little step and go forward. How many people we've met even on our journeys, we told them about some of our Islamic institutions, our madrasas, our Islamic schools and so on. They were surprised. They said, we never knew that there's all these facilities in your country. Take them around, show them. Maybe they will be inspired. A person came here to see the match, but he sees one of our madrasas, our Darul Ulooms, our girls' madrasas. He sees our institutions and he's inspired and he goes back and he says, you know what? I'm taking an application form. I'm sending my son or I'm sending my daughter for Islamic education. Now we will say that though the person came for some very empty event, but he has gone back with something beneficial, something useful. And it became the excuse. It became the zariya. It became the excuse, the bahana for the guidance of that person. So let us look forward towards 2010 in this manner. That each and every, and even the non-Muslim community that will be coming. Let us arrange for the visits to our masajid. Many of them have never had the opportunity of seeing Islam. Especially in a Western society. They have never seen Islam being practiced by a Muslim minority. They have a picture of Islam in Saudi Arabia. They have a picture of Islam in Pakistan. Those are Muslim majorities. Those are Muslim countries. But very few have actually seen Islam being practiced in a non-Muslim country by a Muslim minority. And alhamdulillah, many world leaders have recognized the South African Muslim community as a community that has integrated well in the fabric of South African society, in that they have retained the Islamic identity without becoming lost, or without becoming, in a sense, the part and parcel of the society and losing the Islamic identity. We have retained our Islamic identity, alhamdulillah. And yet we are South Africans. We live as South Africans. We abide by the law of the country. We contribute to the upliftment of the country. We are very much part of the South African society. But at the same time, we have our distinct identity as Muslims. So, we have integrated well in the South African society. They say there are three ways a community can live, especially a minority. One is assimilation, one is integration, and one is isolation. These are the three ways in which a community can live in a country. In some instances, unfortunately, we find when Muslims went to a non-Muslim country, there was assimilation. In other words, they became so much part of the local community that they lost their own identity and you couldn't even recognize them. And within years, they even lost their imam. Like the Afghans who went to Australia, you can't even find traces of Islam in their lives anymore. They have completely assimilated in the society. There's no Islam left anymore. Or like some of our Arab brothers that have gone to the South American countries, they have lost their identity completely. They assimilated in the society. The other situation is where you live in isolation. That you still retain your identity, but you have nothing to do with the local community and you live in isolation. This is a dangerous situation as well. Because now if there is a problem, you are singled out, you are seen as people who are unpatriotic, you don't have anything to do with the affairs of the country and so on. And there is unfortunately a tendency in our community also sometimes that we move towards isolation. The ideal medium between the two is integration. Integration is where we live within the society, retaining our identity, but interacting very positively with the community, with the society, a symbiotic relationship where we are means of benefit to those that are living around us, whilst we take the benefit from the society around us at the same time. This is the ideal Muslim society. And alhamdulillah, we praise Allah Ta'ala that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us a wonderful model of this here in South Africa that is admired by the Muslims around the world. And this is the opportunity to showcase Islam, not only to the Muslim visitors, but even to the non-Muslim community. We must open our masajid, arrange tours to the masjids, etc. Let them see the salah. Let them see the Muslim community living. They're living in a Western society without any difficulty, living their lives normally, retaining their Islamic identity and being very much part of the community at the same time. So these are some of the aspects. There's much more to be said about this, my dear friends. Of course, remember that after 2010, life doesn't come to an end at 2010. There is lots of issues that come after 2010 as well. Who's going to pay and bear the cost of all this here? The entire infrastructure that has been put up and so on. Then comes 2011. Remember, we have local government elections in 2011. And that is the closest in terms of service delivery to the community. We're always lamenting and complaining and moaning and groaning about the condition in the country and the services and so on. We need to become proactive. There's no point complaining and crying and lamenting about the situation and sitting back in the armchair critic's position and doing nothing about it. 2011 is round the corner. Local government elections are going to take place. We can play a role. The need is for the Muslim community to have more shura. We need to have more mashwaras. We need to pool our brains. Alhamdulillah, there is an abundance of brains. You see the symbols the Muslim children got in the matric results, and that's an indication of the kind of brain power Allah has given the community and the ummah. We need to harness that brain power, bring it together. Let's have our think tanks, let's have our strategic planning sessions, let's have our scenario planning, let's have all of these things. Let's sit together, let mashwara take place, and let's charter the way forward for the Muslim community. Allah Ta'ala make our future a better and glorious one. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.